Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On this week's episode of Barbecue and Tech, we're getting ready to get down with some barbecue pork belly. I'm your host, Rod Simmons, joined by my partner in crime and co-host, Chris Ashley. What up, dog?
What's up, my brother? What's up, what's up, what's up to my peoples out there?
All right. I know we are a little late getting this show up, and we deeply apologize, but let's get down to business, man.
Let's get it. So I did it. I went and stopped by Costco to grab some ribs and some chicken to do a little practice session on. And a little testing session. And then as I was walking by, I was like, well, would you look at that? They had pork belly there.
I've been in Costco thousands of times and never once noticed the pork belly there.
They're like, hey, you told the people you were going to get pork belly done. Let's get it done. It's right here in front of your face. I had no choice. I didn't go in there to buy it, but I had no choice to get it. And it was interestingly enough, there was another guy that was buying one as well. And I was like, you're going to smoke it? He was like, I'm just going to make my own bacon. But he said he was looking at Meat Church's video on making pork belly bacon. And so he was following that method. I was like, nah, I'm smoking it straight out, going to do burnt ends and rock with it like that. So, and I was also happy to see that he was checking the size of all the pork bellies. Like, he literally went through every single one. And this is the first thing I will tell people right out the gate is off when you get a brisket, when you get a big piece like a pork belly or something like that, you know, do the best you can to scrutinize the meat so that you know that it's going to cook as even as possible.
Yeah, I think when you and I go to the butcher together, the first thing when they bring out briskets, we look for, and you usually tell them before they go back that you want something with a thicker flat, which
right.
Kind of sounds funny when you say, I want the flat to be thick. but it is, I mean, you but know that if it. It's too thin, yeah. It's going to burn up. And what you wind up going to do is as you're shaping the brisket, you're going to wind up cutting
way more off of that.
Deeper tip. Into that. That yeah. doesn't hurt me too much because eventually those become burgers, but nonetheless it's I think probably the same thing runs here.
Yeah, and it just, you know, for ease of use and for getting a nice even cook and being able to enjoy much more of the meat the way you expect it to enjoy it. Yeah, just try to look for pieces that are very uniformed and even as much as possible, and if not, just recognize where it's not so you know you may have something to work around. So I have actually smoked pork belly before. Absolutely loved it. I went straight for the pork belly burnt ends. And I decided to refresh my memory because I hadn't done it in probably a year and a half. And I know we wanted to do one more current. And so I just did a quick search to see if I could find a video of Malcolm Reed's video, who I watched and kind of got...
He did a kick butt job with his. And what I liked about Malcolm Reed's video.
Yeah.
And I think he has a couple of them up there, but one of them, he essentially did like almost like 1x1 cubes of them. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about that one?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like, cause he made them individual bite sizes, just something you can grab off. Cause let's be honest, pork belly is just bacon. So, you know, you're
right. It's super rich too.
Yeah. And you're candying these things up. So it's like, yeah, you want a single bite. I like that. But I also, the real thing I liked about it, which I was like, those smaller cuts, you get a lot of surface area to really get that cook that you want, that,
right,
if you will, bark that you want, and that covering, versus if you did something that's super large. Obviously, I'm not saying there's not a problem with going larger, because I've seen them do it where you almost put it on like a sandwich or something like that. But
right,
I definitely like that. It's just, they look like a pain in the butt to deal with on the grates.
Yeah, no, but they're really not though. They, and you know, a lot of people, there's a couple of different techniques people can utilize as well. You know, some people will score the fat on the top so that it kind of blooms as it smokes. You know, some people just do it flat, straight. Some people will put that fat side down. Some people will leave it up. So I don't, honestly, I've only put it where that fat cap is up. And I liked it just the way it came out. I can definitely see a case where you want to get some more crunch on it or something like that. But on this current one, I left it. Not only did I leave it up, but I'm actually smoking at a higher temp. Because I normally, you know, have the smoker set around 285. That makes the middle of my smoker about 255, 260, which is what I'm kind of comfortable as far as time wise, and cook time.
Now, are you still grabbing temp on lots of different locations, or are you grabbing temp in other, like, you know, middle? I mean, I guess you know your smoker very well to say, if I set it at this, the middle of the smokers tends to be this, but do you still have great temperatures on various grates in the smoker, or no?
Only when I need to. Okay. So now, the meter does allow me not to have to do that, because, you know, the meter will read its temp on its own, right? So it'll give me the ambient temperature where it's at. And then I can just do, I can adjust as needed, or just recognize something might take a little longer, or what I'll find myself doing is rotating the foods as well, just to make sure, like, cause the ones that are lower tend to give me a little bit more bark. The ones that are top, you know, lighter, but cook a little bit longer. So even though it cooks relatively even across the board.
Yeah.
So one of the things that, Malcolm Reed did when he did his pork belly burn-ins, is he pre-cubed all of his pork belly.
Yeah.
And then, so there's some advantages you get with that, which is, you know, you get to season all the way around each piece, right? So each piece is going to give you a fantastic bite. And you're going to be able to, it'll cook faster because they're, you know, smaller pieces. So there's definitely some advantage to that. But what I decided to do, since I already did that method, and I, like I said, I really enjoyed the way those came out, I decided to do a different method this time around. And I'm following Heath Riles, which is, you know, him and Malcolm are good friends. I'm following his method. So essentially what he did was he took his pork belly and he treated it like a brisket, which I thought was super interesting. So, in fact, I'm probably going to do both methods. So let me explain. So one of the first things Heath did on his is he took that pork belly and he cut it directly in half, just slaps right down, cut it in half. So he had two equal, you know, square pieces, because it's, you know, usually a rectangle. And then he seasoned them up both the same, and then and cooked it like that. And he cooked his at 300 degrees. And the total cook time was roughly about 5 hours. And it looked like a gorgeous, gorgeous piece of meat that came out of that smoker when it was done. So I decided to do a couple things different. One, when you do the burnt ends, you do cut them in those like one by one size that you said, like you mentioned, Rod. Yep. I'm actually going to cut them a little bit bigger. I'm thinking I'm going to go for like a 2x2. And it's strictly a presentation thing and a kind of habit thing. So when I have those little cubes, I will overeat them. Yeah, I'll just pop, pop, pop. I'll pop three before I even make the plate, right? So I was like, you know, if I make them a little bit bigger, then I can more make a plate out of it where I can put some stuff around it, you know, coleslaw, whatever, mac and cheese, whatever you want, around it. And then I can just go sit down and enjoy it like a fork. So that's what I'm going to do this time around, is I'm going to cut them a little bit bigger cubes and make them kind of like more individual servings versus the little cubes on them.
Yep. Okay.
So next, but the, so I'm going to take half of it and do that. The other half, I am going to treat it like a brisket.
All right.
So, so right now it's on the smoker right now as we speak. So any pictures you guys see will be a result of this episode of the podcast.
Sorry. And I don't mean to interrupt you. Actually, I do.
You do.
Yeah. I just like doing it. Did you say that you looked at the Meat Church one? Cause
I didn't actually look at it. He just suggested I take a look at it.
So,
but I had a feeling that you had watched it already.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I wish you would have not, cause I think you would have melded the two techniques. With the Meat Church one, what mm-hmm. I think you would have liked about it is that they did theirs with a, oh God, what was it? I think it was a peach habanero. Yeah. So, cause you like spice. And when I saw the Meat Church one, I was like, that looks good because you get that sweetness from the peach mm-hmm. habanero. You get mm-hmm. kind of get that heat, which I was like, I just immediately assumed that you would have probably gone that direction.
So, yeah, I'll definitely check it out at some point. But I had the reason why I wasn't too worried about the sauces and seasoning is because I'm still playing around with this new rub that I created.
Yeah,
which is going over very well. Most of the people that have tried it have actually said they liked it. And I'm actually soliciting more feedback as we go. So, we'll go ahead.
No. I will say that it was definitely good. You said Heath Riles is the other person that treated it more like a brisket, right?
Yeah. Heath Riles did a video where he's treating it like a brisket. Yep.
All right. Cool. All right. I'm with you so far.
All right. And, So because of that, I wanted to use this rub instead of using anything else. Now, the only difference is I may just go with it straight and then actually use the sauce on top of it. Definitely use a sauce with the burnt end one. And then with the brisket one, I won't sauce it.
Okay.
So essentially it's going to run for, I probably say a good 2 to 3 hours. Actually, I need to bring the temp up on my smoker because I meant to bring it up to the while we're doing the episode, I can bring up the temp. That's why I love technology when it comes to smokers, folks. Yeah, we're sitting at a solid 285 degrees right now. I got an 11% fan output. I'm not using any probes on the meat because I just, I don't always probe the meat that I'm cooking immediately. Sometimes I just wait until, it gets along the way. So put temp, and then we're going to take that up to 300. Update. Boom. Done. So the cool thing that he did as well was what I found interesting, at least, is when he wrapped it, he actually wrapped it in foil.
Texas crutch. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. He wrapped it in foil and he double wrapped it. Now I've seen people here and there double wrap. I have never actually done it.
So I'm interested in how it came out. Cause like a pork belly is a lot of fat.
Right.
Anybody who's ever made bacon understands how much fat is as a result of just putting bacon in a pan that has zero oil in it.
Well, if you go to the video and you look at it, right, it came out really good. When he's slicing it off, it really sliced like a brisket. Because he actually took it up to that 205 degrees range.
Sorry, you lost me. When you said he sliced it, he's not slicing it like a brisket because you said something about like 2x2 cubes.
All right. So let's back up.
All right.
Let's make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah.
So Heath Riles, the methodology that I'm following as far as cooking half.
Only half of it. Okay. Gotcha.
Right. He did both halves the same way. I decided to do take my two halves. I cut it in half like he did, but I'm doing them differently. I'm going to do one as a burnt end, and I'm going to treat one like a brisket like he did. I'm very interested to see how that comes out.
Okay.
So
you got smoked bacon, and then you got burnt ends.
Right.
All right, cool. Keep going.
No, well, again, if you look at it, though, it looks excellent. So he actually took the pork belly up to 205.
Yep.
He didn't quite let it rest, but I'm definitely going to let mine rest. And then the other thing is when he wrapped it 165, which is traditional what you would wrap brisket at anyway, or right around that temperature is where I start looking to figure out, you know, if I'm ready to wrap based on how it looks. So his looked excellent.
I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Tried to tell you.
I apologize because it does not look like
bacon.
Yeah, it is absolutely not. So I will make sure that I include a link because, yeah, looks quite good.
So he did that and wrapped the 165. He seasoned it pretty heavily too, all the way around, and he smoked it fat side up as well. And I would say on this, do what you want, you know, especially if you have your heat coming from the bottom, it might even be better to put it up, you know, put it upside down just to make sure that layer of fat gets a nice little rendering.
Yeah.
On it. But, you know, because of the way my smoker smokes, it doesn't matter to me, but it's definitely going up. But I wouldn't kick anybody out the club if they went down on this one. So right now, it's been on for about 30 minutes and it's looking good. I checked it right before. I really like the rub that I'm using right now because it especially lends itself well to pork.
So, sorry, quick question. Mm-hmm. You did, while you used his cooking method,
right?
You didn't use his, I think his competition barbecue rub or
no,
his
I didn't use rub. Any of his rubs.
Okay. So you still use your own traditional rubs that you like on it.
Well, not even that. Remember when we had Gabe on last week and I was talking about the jerk rub that I was making. All right. So I'm using that because I'm testing it on different foods.
Okay.
To kind of see. So far I've done it on ribs. Outstanding. I did it on chicken. Outstanding. And so now I'm going to try this pork belly and then next up will be a brisket and then see how it's holding up.
All right.
In fact, side note, I sent you a bunch of barbecue to your house. I didn't hear a word about it.
Oh, so my wife wasn't hungry that evening to try it. And then the next day, my son.
I know your monster kids definitely.
It did not last. My son came home. He goes, "What's in the foil pan?" I was like, "I don't know." That's what Chris sent home for your mother. And he's like, "Can I have some?" And by some, he meant the remainder.
Wow.
And that coleslaw that you made.
That truly was probably the best coleslaw I've ever made.
Yeah, that was
I made a couple changes to my typical recipe and I was extremely ecstatic with the way it came out. So
yeah, it's rare that you take a coleslaw directly out minutes after you make it and the flavor is just on point. I mean, it is as good a day later as it was when you finished mixing it.
And it went meshed really well with the chicken. Too. So I was really happy with that. It wasn't too. So which was it, Drew that ate the barbecue? Because
it was Aiden.
Oh, he handles heat decently. Aiden.
Yes. Yeah. The other one is baby mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolute
so,
baby mouth.
So that's one of the things. And folks, when you start making your own seasonings and you start making your own rubs and stuff like that, definitely get as much of a wide array of, you know, definitely start with your day ones, your cool people. The people that, you know your barbecue, but have, you know, can give you great feedback. Cause I have a couple Rod, of course. And then I have a buddy of mine who has he has actually a sophisticated, palate, especially when it comes to eating barbecue.
So wait a second. Are you saying I don't have a sophisticated palate when it comes to barbecue?
I said,
Did I just get insulted?
I said Rod, and I said I have another buddy.
Yeah, you said about? Like Rod, and then you said
I literally sent a tray to your house. What are you talking about?
I was like, was you insulting me?
You did not come to my house for barbecue. You came for tools. You left with tools and barbecue. Yeah, so
okay, I just wanted to make sure you weren't throwing some shade where everybody.
No, why would I do that? My back. No, of course not. Of course not. That would be a bridge too.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Far. No.
Oh, Lord.
But the problem, the downside is, right, is he handles heat like I do. So he was like, heat's perfect.
Yeah.
But I sent some to another friend, and I was like, hey, try this out. And his wife was like, yeah, it's too hot for me.
Wow. Because, I mean, I tasted, and I was like, at first, I was like, I don't taste any heat here. And right. You were shocked that I said there was no heat. And right, I was like, I took another piece, and I was like,
you can't handle heat, but you don't, it's not, you don't like the high heat.
As much.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was the second piece. I was like, I don't taste it. And then it was like a couple seconds where I let it sit. And I was like, okay, yeah, I feel it on the back of my palate.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, you know, biting into a habanero where you're
It was not an immediate burn. No, but it definitely has some nice warmth to it.
Absolutely.
And so when I'm trying to make something like this, my goal, at least at this point, is, you know, I would definitely have a method that I would do it for my own personal liking. But if I'm doing something for a bunch of other people, then I would much rather, you know, suit the broader needs and then have an option to say, oh, let me sprinkle a little bit of this other one on there to kind of take it up a notch. So for them, it was too hot. So I'm going to make another batch that doesn't have as much heat to it. But I was kind of, I think Karen can go, is kind of.
Yeah, she's fine.
If with it would. No, she handles heat, but I would, you know, she's also pretty good at letting me know if it's too hot for her. So I was looking for that. So next time, because it's all gone, this batch is all gone. So anyway, so just a couple of tips there that, you know, that I'm using as long as also with this pork belly is using the same rub. I made some more. And the other thing is I'm changing the way I think about my layers of seasoning. And Rod and I was kind of going through this with Rod. And it really kind of, it came from our conversation with Gabriel last week from the Spice Exchange, which, you know, I went back and re-listened to that episode. I don't do that very often because, you know, I don't like listening to us talk. But it was such a fantastic episode. And he you know, he had some really down to earth and some really cool advice. And just based on re-listening to that, I kind of just said, let me take a step back, because I've always said, definitely use multiple rubs when you're making your barbecue, because if you can, you know, if it makes sense, because you really do kind of get an experience as you bite through it. But the downside of that is you don't necessarily control like the levels of salt between the two different rubs, right? And it's impossible to take it out. So you have to add that extra diligence to make sure that, you know, that your rubs aren't overly salty. And so, you know, so I taste every rub right out of the bottle multiple times. And then now, because of last week, I'm going to make sure it sits in my mouth a little bit longer just to make sure I'm understanding the notes that I'm picking up. But more importantly, when I, you know, sometimes I'll just add some black pepper to an AP that I purchase, especially, and, you know, just so folks know, we're talking about Heath Ryle's rub that Rod was mentioning earlier.
Yep.
Those rubs, the, you know, Malcolm barbecue, how to barbecue rice rubs, which we use a lot. They're all at Mason-Dixon Barbecue. The, you know, the folks we're trying to partner with, within the next.
Oh, Heath Ryle's is there too?
Yeah. Heath Ryle's is there too. His bottles are black and red.
Yep. Yes, they are.
Yeah. So,
I think they all are killing me with these black tops. Cause when I'm reaching down into my little seasoning tray, it's like, oh, black top. Nope. Wrong
right,
one.
Right,
oh, wrong, no, one. Wrong, wrong one.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they're all at Mason-Dixon Barbecue. Definitely, you know, if you guys venture over there, leave a message that we sent you. So, we can develop this partnership pretty soon. We're going to have our first piece of equipment from them to test out and, do some cooking with, to see how we like it. So I'm really looking forward, to that. So anyway, so what I'm doing now is before I would just make a rub that I liked and I would make another rub that I liked. And I was like, okay, these two taste really good together. I'm going to do that. But now I'm actually more forethinking about the layers that I'm creating. And you can do this with a pre-purchase rub. It's not, you know, just think a little bit further, you know, and I'm thinking about, okay, this layer is my base layer. This is going to give me my good, you know, right out of the gate, you know, my pepper, my salt, all of that jazz, you know, a little bit of savoriness from like the onion powder or something like that, which is, you know, pretty much which is going to be in your AP. So, and so I had been using an AP as a base for most of the stuff that I cook anyway. But then now I'm going to start thinking like the next layer up, what do I actually want to do with that layer? Am I trying to take you down a path where I'm opening up the palate more, with some savory, tastes like, some cumin or some, coriander or something like that? Or am I going to try to take you to some heat? You know what I mean? So then I add a layer of heat to that. Yeah, in this particular case, I've been now using my new little dry jerk rub on that second layer.
Yep.
Which is kind of giving you a little bit of heat, a little bit of sweet, and then, you know, but also those flavors that you would expect from any type of Jamaican cooking. And then, and then you can do a third layer on top of that if you want. And that brings out something else. So, let me kind of tie it together. So if, let's say I was doing like ribs for myself, that first layer would be that AP layer. That second layer would probably be like that savory, you know, making sure I get the cumin, the celery salt and stuff like that. But then when I put that rub, that little mix together, I would make sure that the salts are balanced so that I'm not over salting the meat. And then the third layer on something like that would be a sweeter, maybe smokier, flavor, like some smoked paprika and some, you know, brown sugar or something like that. So that's how I'm thinking now. I haven't worked it all the way out yet. So I'm throwing this out there on the podcast, so that other folks can, if they're willing, try it out, see, and, you know, we'll see if we come up with, something together, on making this really, dope. But that's the kind of the idea, of how I'm treating it. And, so I'm looking forward to seeing how this bad boy comes out. Now, the only thing, and I'll ask you about this. So like I said, he double wrapped it in foil. So he didn't wrap it and then take that wrap and then put it in another wrap. He, you know, laid out two sheets of foil and then wrapped the whole thing all at once. So it's like he just made a thicker wrap of foil. Now, you know, traditionally I do brisket, definitely going to be, you know, butcher paper. What do you think? Because, you know, I got a couple of hours to make this decision.
I'm a fan of butcher paper. But I guess if you're already in foil, does it really matter at that point?
Well, I haven't put it in anything yet, right? So I'm talking about for this cook that we got on there right now, should I wrap it in butcher paper? Should I double wrap it in butcher paper? Or do follow what he did and do it in foil?
I say you follow what he did because you're trying his technique. So once you start altering someone's technique, you can't say, you don't have that basis to say, like, if it doesn't come out well, you're going to start to question, Was it because I? So I, in my opinion, I say give it a shot with his method and don't change it, because you're already changing the seasoning that he did. So don't change too many elements.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So, the only variation will be his rubs. But other than that, I will, and I've never double wrapped anything in foil. Like, I've never done ribs like that. I've never done brisket like that. So this will be a new thing. But I will double wrap it. So I'll tear it out, lay it out, wrap it up, and put it back on. But the burnt ends, I will smoke, because I didn't start out with it cut. I'm going to let that go for the whole time. Not the whole time, probably a good 3-4 hours, probably about 3 hours, right? You know, maybe once it gets up to about 170, I think I'm going to cut it then.
Okay.
And I think it'll be pretty tender at that point anyway. So then I'll cut it, reseason it, and put it in a pan with some sauce, and then let it just cook on down with the sauce. So I'm kind of torn, because maybe I'll do it like that, but leave it open, or maybe I just let it go all the way to 195, cut it. Because that's how you would do a regular burn in, right? You would actually let it cook out, cut it up, put it back in, and then let it re-render the rest of that fat while it's open in the, and, you know, cook down some more. So what do you think?
I don't have it. I don't want to mess it up. So I'm not offering my opinion. Because I know no matter what I do, this is like, it's like a, I can see the trap you've laid. I'm not stepping into it. What do you think you should do? Is what
I
should ask.
I changed my mind. I'm going to let it go all the way up to like the 195, 200. I'm going to cut it then, put it back on, and let it cook down some more.
I think that's the best method.
Yeah. So I'll do that. I won't pull it too early. Not too many variations, I guess, is what I'm after, to make sure I get a solid cook here.
All right. I'm excited to see the results of this, and I promise the show notes will not only comment on the results of it, but you'll also hopefully get to hear from Mr. Ashley on see some photos of the finished product as the header for this. So I'm super excited to see what comes out of this.
Yeah, man. So props to Gabe
for sorry, I didn't ask, are you for the burnt end ones, is there going to be a barbecue sauce, or is it going to have I assume it's going to favor more in the direction of sound of jerk.
No, I'm going to do sauce on it. So and this is going to be the interesting part of it, I think, because it's going to have the base layer as well as the dry jerk rub that I made on top of that.
Yeah.
So then having that cooked down in like a regular barbecue sauce, I think is going to be really, really good.
Okay.
Because, the sauce with the jerk actually tastes really good. So, and I think I'm just going to, and my baseline for barbecue sauce is Famous Dave's. I'm not Famous Dave's.
I was like, what?
I actually like their sauces, but Sweet Baby Ray's, excuse me. So
there it is.
Yeah. So anytime I do a sauce, and I'm just like, when I'm in experimental mode, I start out with that. But I think we're going to go back to start making I'm going to have you whip up a batch of the Coca-Cola barbecue sauce we love so much.
Yep. I remember you asked me to do it this weekend, and then things got hectic. So I
didn't give you grief, you know.
I was like, he hasn't mentioned it, so maybe he doesn't really need it. And I'm not going to ask.
No, I wanted it for sure, but I just wasn't going to give you a hard time about it.
Well, I was also dealing with a kid's birthday, so it was like,
and that's the other reason I didn't quite beat you up so much. So
three soccer games, birthday party, birthday dinner, then in-laws birthday, and then combined birthday dinner. Like my last several days have been a birthday. Like it's almost like everybody gets the never ending birthday party except for me.
Well, at least you'll get invited to my birthday party coming up here soon.
I won't be invited to your Thanksgiving, but I won't air our dirty laundry on this show. So just selling me out.
It's so early. I mean, you might as well put Christmas decorations out right now, Bub. Jeez, it's so early.
If you guys are wondering, I know you've been enjoying the show and you get to listen to Chris and I talk about how we prepare Thanksgiving together without even calling me and saying, hey, Rod, one of my other buddies decided to sneak in and confirm Thanksgiving with me before I even talked to you. Over 2 decades, one of his other friends, I would ask him in July, like, hey, you want to do Thanksgiving together? Say, oh, I always do Thanksgiving with him. He didn't even call me. He did. He called me to tell me.
How did you find out except for me calling you? Like,
calling you and saying, I got better plans with a better friend. Jesus. I still need to send our buddy who snaked you away from me in a FU message, which I'm about to do right now. I totally forgot.
He just said, listen, I know you've been going to Rod's.
Yeah, he shouldn't have asked. Literally that. That's like saying, I know you're married, but. it's like, and here's the worst thing. Then you decided to cheat. That's the worst.
I was like, oh, since you put it like that. since you lay it out so nicely.
Oh, you're right.
You know. Well, I mean, if you think about it, you had a long time where you would invite me.
Yeah, we had a couple good year run
to watch fantasy football, and I'd be like, no, no, I'm not
going. Oh my!
And then finally, you're like, man, I've been asking you for a while now. I was like, dude, you don't have the Sunday ticket. He was like, is that all? He ordered it the next week. I was like, but my other buddy, who, you know, just so everybody be clear, we're all very close friends.
We are. Yeah. This is all, I'm joking. When I am going to send my friend a message like that, but I know he is going to bust out laugh when he sees it.
Both of these gentlemen were at my wedding. He had pointed out that we had never done a actual, Thanksgiving together either. So he felt it was his turn to get a run. So we did it. So it's all good. But anyway, that's it for this week's episode, folks. We appreciate everything you guys are doing for us. We will see you next week where I have some really cool barbecue things I've been experimenting with. I'm excited to break it out and share it with everybody else. So thanks so much to all the patrons out there. Thanks so much to all the folks, the fans listening. Please continue to tweet out the show, leave us comments, and let us know what you think. And also, if you're not in the Discord or on the Patreon, we're actually going to start posting some of the older shows on YouTube. So if you want to see some of the fun we're having while we're recording, by all means, go check those out. Go subscribe to the YouTube page and enjoy it. And then until next week, we are out. Peace.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.